I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So with calls for Peter Credlin to sack herself, albeit by Rupert Murdoch, for the good of the country, I think he might have even said in one of his tweets, all the way from America. I want to talk to a couple of former top advisors. Firstly, from the Howard years, Chris Kenny, who's now the host of Viewpoint and Friday Live on Sky. He's on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Why are people going after Peter Credlin? I find it's a little distasteful. What do you think?
Well, look, a lot of people have been doing it. Rupert Murdoch's not the first person to criticise Peter Credlin. It's been happening now for many, many months. Been happening from within the Liberal Party and within the commentariat. I think it's a bit over the top, but I think it's based on a sense that Tony Abbott's been a bit too isolated, that he hasn't been taking enough advice from a broad range of people, and so people have focused on the way his office is run and have focused on Peter Credlin. I think there's been too much focus on her. I think there's plenty of room for criticism about how Tony Abbott's office has functioned, perhaps, or some of the decisions Tony Abbott's made. But I don't think there needs to be so much focus directly on Peter Credlin.
Yeah, but if his office is being run like that, he is allowing that to happen. These are from orders that are coming from him. He's the guy.
Oh, exactly my point. I mean, the Prime Minister, in the end, is responsible for the way their office is run and who they staff it. And if he's not getting enough advice, enough broader range of advice, then that's his problem. And I mean, look, to be fair to Tony Abbott, he's very upfront about that himself. He's not trying to palm off this decision about Prince Duke's Phil of Edinburgh to anybody else.
Yes.
He's putting up his hand and saying that was his call, and he'll take it on the chin. So I don't think it's fair to blame Peter Credlin for that decision.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, I mean, that's what chiefs of staff and advisors are there for, to try and thrash these issues out behind the scenes, to try and make sure you don't have any stuff-ups. And if anyone was told about this idea, they should have been able to tell Tony Abbott that it was a dumb idea. Now, having said that, he may not take that advice. We don't know. He may have been told that was a dumb decision and decided to go ahead with it anyway. We do know from public revelations that his whole Knights and Dames thing, that John Howard told him that wasn't a smart idea, yet he still went ahead and did it. So in the end, politicians will take their own decisions after they've sounded out whatever advice they've got.
Are you surprised, Chris? You've been around a long time. Are you surprised at how damaging this Prince Philip thing has been?
No, I first saw it at about 6:30 on Australia Day morning. It was the first that I saw it, just the press release in my phone before any media reaction.
Yeah.
And I instantly thought it was laughable. I instantly thought it would be a huge own goal. I instantly thought it would knock the government off course. It was a really dumb decision. And I thought Tony Abbott had done a fair bit over the past couple of months to reset his government. He had a reshuffle. He backed down on a couple of policies. He admitted he'd made some mistakes and needed to improve. And the number one job for the government this year was to focus the debate on the budget, on the economy, on the things that matter, if you like. And it's pretty sad that the first person to knock them seriously off course was the Prime Minister himself. But having said that, apart from the politics, if you like, apart from those perceptions, there's no great damage done. It's not like Julia Gillard sacrificing our relationship with Indonesia and banning the cattle trade, or or Kevin Rudd insulting America by revealing conversations with George Bush or the like. I mean, there's no sort of policy substance behind it. It's a personal embarrassment that's really been damaging.
Yeah, but as you know, those things can last a lot longer because they're easier to understand. I mean, I'm not trying to lecture you here, but you know this, that they're easier for people to understand and it's more symbolic and it will stick in the mind a lot more than those two things that you mentioned.
Look, what it does is it plays to Tony Abbott's weaknesses. It plays to preconceptions about him being a man of the past and a man too beholden to the royals and England. And,
yeah.
And that's why it's particularly damaging to him. It accentuates some weaknesses in his public persona anyway, and that's why he should have known better. And that's why he shouldn't have done it, and that's why he's going to wear it. But that's also why they'll quickly try and move on to, and put it behind them.
Yeah. And how much trouble is he in?
Oh, look, this is the worst decision of his prime ministership because it's undermined his own authority within the party. There's a collective shrug of the shoulders and sigh and a screwing up of the faces from his MPs and ministers because they don't want to have to deal with this embarrassing gaffe. It's got them off message. They don't like it. And so for the first time, I think you've really had his own MPs thinking, oh, gee, you know, what is this guy up to?
Yeah. Chris, it's good talking to you. Thanks very much. Chris Kenny, host of Viewpoint and Friday Live on Sky, but also a senior advisor in the Howard years. Sean Kelly, former senior advisor for Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd's on the line. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Justin.
Are you surprised? I want to start with this one. Happy New Year to you, mate. Thank you. Start with this one. Are you surprised at how damaging this has been?
I'm not surprised at how damaging this decision has been. It's a trivial decision on the face of it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really cares about knighthoods. It's a pretty dumb decision. People think that it's a very stupid decision to give one to Prince Philip, who has enough letters after his name as it is. But it is a trivial decision in the scheme of things. And to be honest, it wouldn't be a big deal, except that it has come after a trail of huge mistakes by Tony Abbott and the Abbott government.
Yeah.
Medicare backflips we saw at the start of the year. And the problem with those problems in turn, that they came after a Prime Minister who ended last year by saying, that's it, I've made a few stuff-ups, but I'm fixing things now. I'm scraping the barnacles off the ship, was the phrase he used.
Yeah.
He's gone down in political history. And having promised to do that, he started this year terribly. And that is the real problem. Not this decision in itself, but because it's followed a series of bad decisions after a promise to fix stuff.
You spent a few years working for a well-known crazy-eyed control freak. How much influence does the chief of staff have? I mean, how much should Peter Credlin be wearing in this?
It is an incredibly important position, and it is a huge step up from opposition to government. And that's something that's worth remembering. In opposition, the one thing that really, really matters is steel discipline. So the chief of staff for the opposition leader can be an absolute control freak because his or her job is to make sure those people speaking from the opposition are absolutely singing from the same song sheet. As soon as you move to government, ministers have to be given autonomy. They have to be given a level of responsibility, treated like adults.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're not just managing a few members of your party. You're managing a cabinet. You're managing a party room. You're managing the entire public service. You're managing all of the ministerial staff. You're managing your own office, and you're managing upwards. You've got to manage the Prime Minister as well. So it's this job that expands enormously. It's a huge transition. Now, all of that said, it's an important job, but I couldn't agree with you more, Justin. Ultimately, the buck stops with Tony Abbott. The buck always has to stop with the Prime Minister. It's up to the Prime Minister how his office operates. It's up to the Prime Minister the decisions he actually makes, the political decisions and the policy decisions, the things that have actually landed the Abbott government in hot water, mostly the budget from last year, the Medicare backflips at the start of this year, and this ridiculous Prince Philip decision. All ultimately come back to Tony Abbott, and I agree with you. Peter Credlin is taking too much of the flak for that.
Do you think, right or wrong, do you think she'll survive it, though?
What often happens in these situations, fair or not, is the chief of staff becomes a bit of a sacrificial lamb. It's worth remembering that Julia Gillard, Kevin Rudd, and John Howard, the last three prime ministers, all lost a chief of staff within about their first year.
That's a good point.
And that's something that's often overlooked. Most prime ministers start off pretty shakily. Their first year isn't very good. Not normally quite this bad, but not as good as they become later on. And so often in that first year, as a bit of a sop to their party, as a way of saying, I know you've got problems, I am listening to you, the chief of staff falls on their sword. Now, Tony Abbott has shown enormous loyalty to Peter Credlin through thick and thin, but politics is a very, very brutal game. And look, I wouldn't be entirely surprised if we see some movement in the next month, but that's pure speculation.
Sean, great talking to you. Thanks very much. Sean Kelly, former senior advisor for Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd, and also Chris Kenny, who was senior advisor to Alexander Downer in the Howard years. They are a couple of smart political thinkers from opposite sides of the political spectrum, but they will know this, and Sean reiterating that point, it annoys me. I hate the thought of Peter Credlin copping the...
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.